Well, it feels good to feel good. Appreciate being able to be together today, and so good to see each one of you. And I look back a while ago and I see all these little babies and these bottles cranked up. I thought that was so neat. I want to share a few verses in Romans, the 4th chapter. And the first verse, Romans 4 and 1, it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision." I'm thinking about this thought about working. Verse 4 and 5, it says, to him that worketh. Verse 5 says, but to him that worketh not. And I was thinking about how this is... I would like to understand it even more, but I'm thinking about God forgiving iniquity, forgiving sins, and it's not our works, it's not what we've done to merit it, but it's through God's mercy. We may come back here, but I want to share another verse. In Titus, the 3rd chapter, in the 2nd verse, it says, "Speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." I was thinking about how that Paul, you remember, was... I thought about how the grace of God appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And he had such a... evil and wicked heart. He was persecuting God's people. One scripture in Acts said that he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was very intent on putting hurt on people and damaging. But he saw that great light. The Lord shined a light down on his pathway, and he heard a voice saying, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" You know, I believe each one of us can look in our lives and recognize it was the mercy of God that appeared to us. It wasn't something that we were doing. I look at my own life, it wasn't something that I was doing right. It wasn't because I had faith, or it wasn't because I wasn't living right when God appeared to me and He shined a light down into my path. It wasn't like Paul's, but it was definitely a light. It was definitely a light came on, and I saw something different than I'd ever seen before. But it was always through God's mercy. And I feel challenged because I think sometimes, a lot of times when the Lord's leading us, sometimes we look back in our lives over the past few months and we see, you know, how we're doing. How have we been doing? And sometimes it's better, sometimes it's better than others. Sometimes our prayer life is better at certain times than it's been at other times. I think we can all recognize and acknowledge that we're human. But we don't come to God through our merits and through our works. It's through His mercy that we have anything to come to God. The mercy seat, the cherubims with their wings spread across, and the law that was in there, and Aaron's rod that was budded there in the holiest of holies. It was called the mercy seat. And I just think about how it's so important for us to recognize this verse here. It talks about him that works and him that worketh not. Now, I want to relate a little bit about Hezekiah. We all know the story about how the people, the Assyrians came, I believe it was Assyrians, that came against the children of Israel, and Hezekiah was king. And I never really understood, when you read that account, you know how the angel came, you know, they came right to Jerusalem, they threatened them. But I never understood why God allowed them to take all the cities before they got to Jerusalem. I never really understood that. They were conquering city after city of Israel until they got to Jerusalem. And then that's when Hezekiah went before God and Isaiah, and they spread the letters. They were seeking God, their life. But I noticed in a pattern that, you know, the Lord has a way of diminishing us. He has a way of Lord, help us pray for me this morning. I want this to, He has a way of diminishing us so it's not us. It's Him. He doesn't want it to be us. Now, there's a lot of self-help books in the world today. There's a lot of psychologies, philosophies, ideas. And I'm not saying all of them are bad. But I want to say this. The scriptures always point towards Christ. He is the end of all things. He is the beginning. He's the end. He's everything to us. And there's a difference between self-confidence and confidence in God. There's a difference. Goliath had self-confidence. And I've mentioned this before. Goliath had self-confidence. He wasn't afraid. But there will come a time that self-confidence and self-sufficiency and self-efforts will fail. And I believe God has a purpose in it all. And it's to bring us to the place where we recognize that I can't do it. Do you know that is wonderful news this morning? You say, what are you talking about? To come to the realization that I cannot do it. It doesn't stop there, but bear with me here just a little bit. I want to. When those people came into Hezekiah and city after city began to fall, they realized they couldn't do it. It brought them to a point that they recognized that we can't. And I believe Hezekiah said that. He said, we have no might. I mean, they were falling like dominoes. We have no might against this people. Moses. There's a verse, and I didn't look all these up, but I want to mention, there's a verse that it says, he would have supposed how the children of Israel would have understood how he would have delivered them by his hand. So Moses, before, and that was probably his efforts when he slew the taskmaster, he had some kind of inkling that God had a plan for his life, that God wanted to work through his life, that he had something there. He had a thought that he was going to deliver the children of Israel. He wanted to deliver them. And it says he supposed that they would have understood how that God was going to deliver, or how he was going to deliver him through his hand. But what happened? Moses fled to the desert, afraid, in fear. That's right where God wanted him. So at first he has this thought that the people of God ought to understand how I'm going to deliver them by my hand. But what happens when God calls him? After being in the desert 40 years out there with sheep. What's his thought then? I can't do it. I can't do it. You know, I believe that's where God wanted him. I believe that's where God wanted him is, I can't do it. Before, he thought he was going to deliver him, and he tried. He tried in his own strength. But the Lord took him on the desert. You know, sometimes our failures are going to be some of the biggest blessings we have. There's a temptation to all of us, because we're human. We try to fight our battles in our strength, our abilities, our efforts, our knowledge, our past victories. We try to fight our spiritual battles so many times in our strength, and we fail. That doesn't mean that God's done with us, and that's encouraging to me. if you fail, it doesn't mean that God's done with you. And it doesn't mean that you don't have anything. But it probably means that God's got a better plan or a different plan than your plan. Don't stop with "I can't." But God wants to take us through that wilderness and that desert of "I can't do it" within myself. And it brings about a great dependency upon God working and helping us and working through our hearts and our lives. And we recognize this over and over, as brought out this morning about Gideon, how the Lord reduced him to almost nothing. And Paul, when he had the thorn in the flesh, he stated, "When I am weak, then am I strong." When I'm weak, when it looks like I don't have anything, when it looks like I'm not perhaps prepared, when I am weak, then am I strong, because I'm leaning upon God and I'm trusting in Him. You know, the Lord wants to work. There's another scripture in the book of Romans, the 9th chapter. Let's see here, if I get the right book. Romans 9 and 16, it says, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." You know, I'm so excited about the mercy of God. You know, when we come to the Lord, I mean, sometimes there's been failures and shortcomings, and sometimes there's been disappointments. And I believe the enemy has a way of working that way. But we come through His mercy. Not by what we have done or who we are. We come to Him through what Christ has done for us. Christ has already won the victory. He's fought the battle through. He overcame Satan and hell and everything that Satan could throw at Him. He overcame. And through His victory, you and I are able to overcome this morning. We sang the song this morning. The Lord brought it to my mind, the one in 2:13. It said, no, it's not 2:13. Is it 1:13? 1:13. It made the comment, it said, "If by simple faith in Jesus I abide." And I believe that's what these scriptures are talking about. Simple faith, believing. And that's what he was bringing out there in Romans, that he was telling him, it wasn't when Abraham was circumcised that he was blessed. It wasn't Abraham's works. Circumcision was what Abraham did. It was before, when Abraham came to God and gave himself and he believed and trusted in God, is where he found the grace. You know, that's where we find grace today, is when we believe and trust in the mercy of God, the love of God, not on anything that we've done. That's where we find. And I thought, I want to get another verse here in Hebrews. Hebrews, I believe it's the 4th chapter. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. In verse 6, it says, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein," talking about rest, "and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." So we know that. We recognize that they failed to get a hold of the land of Canaan when God really wanted them to because of their unbelief. And it was really their fear that caused unbelief. And they didn't believe God. They didn't trust God. They backed up and they said, we're not able to. We're not able to go into the land and possess it because we're small. You know, the enemy likes for us to look at our inabilities, our failures, our shortcomings, and cause us to recognize, to discourage us and press us down. But we come through God's mercy today, what Christ has done for us. It doesn't matter how good a person we are, we'll never be good enough without the Lord living in us. We'll never be good enough within our own selves. But they looked at their need and they failed to recognize the mercy and the love of God for them. And it caused them to fail to receive. And there's scriptures that talk about us entering into grace through faith, believing that God, not because of what I've done, but we believe, and it works both ways. You know, the Pharisee, he prayed, he said, "Well, I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess." And that's what he was, that's one of the persons that says is working. And there's a difference between us working and Christ working through us. There's a great difference. Here he mentions, it says here, again, he limiteth a certain day, verse 7, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus," which is really Joshua, "had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Now listen to this next verse. "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his." He has ceased. He has recognized that it's not him. It's not us. And I believe God wants to take us. I don't know. Sometimes I don't really have much of the "I can." Some people do. Some people have "I can just do it all." My struggle is getting hung up in the middle. I can't. But God wants to take us to the place that I can through Him. You know, one place Christ said, "You can, without me, you can't do nothing." You can't, without me, you can't do anything. But through Him, And it's spoken of as a rest. He that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. You know, sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we strain. This was such a blessing to me. I read another scripture in Matthew the other day, and Jesus talked about, he said, which one of you can add a cubit to his stature? What's a cubit? I'm not sure how long a cubit is. Is that the forearm length? I don't know what a cubit, what he meant. No, we can't add stature to us. We'd all, when we was 13, we'd all be about 7 foot tall and, you know, real big. We can't do that. But Jesus said, if you can't do that which is least, why take you thought for the rest? And he said, consider the lilies which toil not nor spin. And how Solomon in all his glory was not even arrayed like one of the lilies, just without any effort, without any strain, just comes up and grows, and it's the most beautiful. Can we do that in our Christian lives? I believe that's why. And he said, if you can't do that which is least, why take you thought for the rest? What are you worrying about? To be able to enter into that rest is to trust God and believe that He's going to help me. You know, when we struggle and we fear, many times causes us to doubt and to lose our faith and our confidence in God, just like it did them back there. We see something big ahead, we see a mountain, and all of a sudden we... Whoa. But if we can trust God, enter into God and rest and believe and have a confidence and say, Lord, you know, when David came to Goliath, it wasn't self-confidence that David had. He believed in the power of God, not in his own abilities. He believed that God was going to be true and faithful to His promises. And the Lord was faithful to that. And I can just imagine David saying, Lord, I know this is a giant, but he's nothing compared to You. See, we compare it to us. We get looking at us. And our faith will shrink. The fear causes our faith to doubt and shrink and to draw back. But if we can recognize, Lord, it doesn't matter how big the giant is, he is no match for You. You know, when we've been able to, I noticed in my own life, when I've been able to really commit myself into the Lord's hands and trust Him, it brings a rest. Because I know it's not me. But when I've, at different times that I've had, it's been too much me, I've struggled and fought and fought. I get tired, I wear out. And it's me, it's me that's working. But if we can rest, that one verse in Romans said, to him that worketh not. That was the title of my message. To him that worketh not. But believes. That's all he does. Believes in God's power, in God's blessing. And it's simple. Okay, another scripture came to my mind. Jesus said, when you're brought to the magistrates, he said, don't premeditate before time what you're going to say to them. You know, that'd be a challenge. That'd be quite a challenge. You're going to go before Nero? And he said, don't meditate ahead of time what you're going to say. But what did he say? That same hour, it will be given you what to say And he said, it won't be you. It will be the Holy Ghost. It will be the Holy Spirit. Folks, I've had times where the Holy Spirit has spoken things through me, and I know it wasn't me, because I didn't have it. I didn't have it within me to say it. And it's just like, whoa, where did that come from? That's the Lord. You know, sometimes our battles, they seem like such great mountains, and they seem such strongholds. By simple faith in Jesus, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, simple faith in Christ, believing that He's going to take care of me, that He's going to work for me, that He's going to work things out for me, and then look to Him to do it. We don't have wisdom. The Lord can give us wisdom. We don't have patience. He can give us patience. Love. That's what, all those things to me, that's what the grace of God is. It's patience. It's love. It's long-suffering. It's wisdom. It's understanding. And we get it. We receive it not by what we've done this last week, not by our own power, by our own ability, but we're coming in through the mercy seat of God, His mercy. You know, I believe we can cast our cares, our concerns, our burdens, our battles, our trials, be able to give them to God and trust Him, and it brings an inward rest. And I believe you all know what we're... The struggle sometimes can be real. It is real. Battles are real. But the Lord wants to bring us through that place of I can within my... He don't want that. He don't want us going in our strength and what we can do. And that's all through all the thoughts I was trying to bring out. He tries to diminish us to where it's like Moses, I can't do it. But then He wants us to come to the place of surrender and say, yes, the Lord will be with me. And the Lord will help me. And the Lord will see me through. He'll give me what I need when I don't have it, when I don't see where it's going to come from, and I don't know how it's going to work it out. Just like in the Sunday school this morning, the last minute, last hour, God sent aid, and God sent help, and God sent blessing. Let's be challenged this morning to have faith, confidence in God's love and His power. You know, you ever question that God loves you, really loves you? Deep down inside, you ever struggle with that? I think probably everybody has. But we want to come to that point of commitment, trust, and rest. And the Lord, that's where the Lord works. That's where grace is unleashed. That's where the grace of God comes in, when it's not what we can do. It's not our ability, not our willpower. It's not my self-discipline. You know, sometimes we think, I need to be more disciplined. I need more self-discipline. You know, Christ is the focal point of everything. It's Christ. It's just abiding in Him. It's like the lily that's just submitted and surrendered to His love and care. And it's a natural outflow and growth. It's not me straining and struggling. and trying to add a stretch myself out, to add a cubit to my stature. It's just a simple yes. I will, Lord. I can through you. I believe you're going to help see me through this area in my life. I know you will. Doesn't he do that? He does. He does see us through all those complicated areas, and it's not always like the way we thought or the way we thought it was going to go. But he sees us through. He'll help make a way for us. And then it's him. Wasn't me. I didn't have the resources. I didn't have the ability. I didn't have the power. So I've been so encouraged to him that worketh not. To him that works, you're straining, you're struggling, but to him that worketh not, because he trusts and he believes and he follows, he says yes to the Lord. And that's what we want. And that's where God comes in through his grace to help us. Appreciate your attention this morning.